good. Just felt like talking to you.
Felt like talking. Well, it's so funny because we must be psychically linked. I was like, oh, I thought Sean mentioned something. Well, I said it was okay for Monday.
Oh.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. And anyways, but again, very strangely enough, I was just watching a video of Gene Simmons getting schooled on playing bass.
Oh.
By Carole Kay.
By Carole Kay?
Yes, she's a session musician.
Okay.
Like a bassist. And she is awesome. She's played with the best.
Like who? Who does she play with? I'm actually very curious.
Let me see here.
Hey, it's not every day. Well, no, it is every day that Gene Simmons gets schooled, but I'm always interested when it happens.
Yes, Carole Kay. So let me see here if I can get some of her credentials. She, let me see here. Carole Kay.
At first I thought you said Carole Kane, and then I'm like,
yeah,
that's even cooler.
Yeah, I know, no. Okay, no, not Carole Kane. Not Carole Kay. Here we go. She's an American musician. Known as one of the most prolific and widely heard bass guitarists, playing on an estimated 10,000 recordings in a career spanning over 50 years.
Okay, so this is, so she's with the Muscle Shoals, right?
I beg your pardon? She's what?
I think she's one of the Muscle Shoals musicians. She's the one that wrote, if it's who I think it is, she wrote the bass line for like many things, but some stuff was like, these boots are made for walking was one of them, I think.
Let me see. She's played bass on the Beach Boys' Help Me Rhonda.
Yeah, okay, that's the same
God
lady.
God Only Knows, California Girl.
Yes, that's the same lady. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
she is
like,
freaking awesome. I just watched a documentary on Muscle Shoals.
Okay.
Which is the musicians, the session musicians for that studio. And they talked about how they did the Beach Boys, I think Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes.
Gosh, I think Simon like Sam Cooke,
Sam
I think,
Cooke,
and stuff like that.
Yes.
She
exactly.
is, she was amazing in that. I couldn't believe how good she is and how prolific. Okay,
and I'm
so.
Just looking.
Oh, that's so freaking cool.
She contributed the acoustic rhythm guitar parts. Richie Valens' La Bamba.
Ah.
Holy shit, lady, man. She's been around.
She's really good. Okay, so what did she say? I have to know.
Well, she's just she was just showing Gene on how to do like some sort of a funk bass.
Okay.
Thing. Let me send it to you. Hold on.
Well, no, you know what? You did send it to me. I haven't looked at it yet.
No, I just
Oh, you just sent it to me.
Just
okay.
Saw it, yeah.
Okay, good.
Saw it.
I want to... So let's do what do we call the incorrect journalism where I haven't read the article, but I'm going to talk about it? Or modern journalism. It could be called modern journalism.
But, yes, exactly. Modern / fake news. Or, yes.
Okay, so she was teaching him how to do, like, a particular types
riff.
Of runs or whatever?
She was showing him, like, some sort of a funk riff and how it's, like, she was saying something about how the up, and it's, like, it's not... She was, like, counting the bases, and she was like, and one. And it's not, it's like, the up is on the and.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
And, anyway, so she's, she was teaching one particular riff, and he was, it's so funny because, I mean, it's as if, you know, he's just learning how to play a bass. And she's like, yeah, you're getting it, it's getting there. And I'm like, how old is this lady? I mean, versus Gene. I mean, Gene is in his early 60s, I want to say.
Well, I think she would probably
be at least
10 years ahead because she was working on stuff in the 60s.
Even in the 50s, like with Richie Valens. Or when does Richie Valens... She was born in 1935. She's 82.
Oh, is she still around?
Damn, she's still around.
Oh, man. This
I know,
needs
right?
to be put on the cover of, like, everything.
I know.
I loved her watching her, like, the old pictures of her and you got to watch this documentary. It's on Netflix. It is really freaking
oh,
cool.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so neat.
Well, it talks
that's
about so... how they created all these classic albums and how, all these number one hits was all the same band, even though it was different, quote-unquote, artists. It was the same band performing. Like, they were competing against themselves on the charts all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. It's really
that's
good.
Insane. That's it's so really cool. Ippy.
Ippy.
So,
did you just call me a sword?
Ippy. No. I said, Ippy.
Oh, Ippy. Okay.
Ippy.
Yeah.
Actually, on Friday night, I was running around like a mad person. That's
this
why
is
I
going on the podcast, by the way. So let's just keep going because I'm having fun. So you're up Friday night.
Didn't we say that we were going to have one just like a stream of consciousness?
Yes.
So there you go.
These are the most entertaining ones. They're the ones that get the most views. So.
So on Friday night, I went to the there's a French comedy club called Le Bordel.
Bordello?
Exactly. That's
Are you
exactly
serious? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
And that's actually, the actual building used to be an old bordello.
Oh, for real?
For
so they're
real.
Not just calling it that. It actually used to be.
No. It was exactly in its heyday.
Cool.
It used to be for, yes, I know. So anyway, there is this stand-up comedian. His name is J.D. Surrett.
Okay.
And he's known in the Montreal area as a comedian, very good. And he's bilingual, but he's from New Brunswick.
Oh.
Fait que son français, il parle comme ça.
Oh, yes.
Puis il disait, do you have, no, avez-vous des problèmes à me comprendre? And I'm like, nope, I'm all over that. I said, not a problem. I'm with you.
Oh,
all
man,
the way.
I gotta check this guy. Okay, you gotta send me links to everything we're talking about.
Yeah,
well, because
I want to put it
on the episode too, but I also want to go check this shit out.
Because there's like this this groundswell of comedians. Well, I mean, obviously because I'm bilingual, I tend to follow these things.
Oh,
but there's
sure.
a lot of French or English Canadians or English comedians rather English Canadian comedians that are. Going towards French or trying to do French comedy and vice versa.
Oh, okay.
And it's great, actually. I mean,
that is good.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're kind of both playing in each other's sandboxes. And, I mean, it's like double the enjoyment. There's a particular comedian. His name is Mike Patterson. But, oh, my God, it hurts. It hurts because it's funny, but it hurts because his French is so horrible. Like your typical, like, je ressemble au manager du Burger King. And I'm like, ow, my.
Is that actually his shtick, though? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Like, he's a hilarious guy. I mean, he's, like, the definition of zany. You look it up in the dictionary, and that's Mike Patterson.
Okay, cool.
He's a nut bar, but he's hilarious. And actually, he's the guy who does, I don't know, did you guys get commercials for Jigaloo?
Jigaloo.
Is that, yeah.
No,
it's,
I don't think so.
It's kind of like a WD-40 type of thing that prevents weeping.
Oh, no, I have not seen that, so that
Jigaloo.
Might not be
here. Yeah, anyways. I know, don't ask.
That's awesome.
Some marketing person.
Do you need to tighten something up or loosen something up?
Let's see here. We need the name. We need to call it something. What should we call it? Yeah, let's jiggle something. Yeah, Jigaloo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. And people get paid for this. But, you know, whatever. Anywho, so I'm going off on a tangent. What else is new? But anyways, yeah, so I was on Friday night.
It's a tangent. It's a tangent.
It's a tangent. Tangent. Exactly.
Well, you just said it from New Brunswick there. Tonjon.
Yes, I know.
Tonjon. Mon cousin Tonjon.
On va aller à Gagnon Beach.
Oh, jeez. Gagnon.
That's so funny. Anyway, so what's happening with you? Enough about me.
What was I going to say?
Oh.
I had to... I think I want to talk about, I don't know. I had a really good weekend.
Sweet. Me too, actually.
Yeah, I went to the Winnipeg Art Gallery on Friday. We took Sylvie there for a date.
Nice.
We acquired passes for the year.
Okay.
We can go anytime we want.
Very nice.
And then they also have like special functions there and stuff. So we'll get a discount on the special functions. Like there's some stuff that even if you have membership stuff to pay. It's like they have like the Cannes Lions there every year. Are you familiar with the Cannes Lions?
Yes, I talk about them all the time. But you know, maybe for your listeners, you should probably.
Are you being facetious? That's awesome.
Yes, yes.
No, the Cannes.
I have no idea.
You're familiar with Cannes. Cannes is like the film festival, right?
Cannes
Lions, it's the film festival for commercials. So they rank the best commercials in the world. And at the Cannes Lions, they show all the winners and the runners-up and all that. So it's January, February every year, I think, is when it runs. Anyway, it's really good. I've been to it a half dozen times, probably. And it's the funniest commercial, but it's international. So let's be honest, like the Americans can't always get away with certain commercials because they just censorship and all that stuff.
European
commercials are always brilliant.
Please. Right?
Mm-hmm. So,
their artistic license is a little bit more broader as to what is allowed on.
Yeah. I really want to go see that because it's really good. Those commercials are art. Like, they're not even a commercial. It's like, you're selling something? I don't really care. it's so good. The commercial's so entertaining.
Well, this is it. Essentially, that's what a commercial is supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to attract your attention, and it's also supposed to remind you of what the project is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of products that have commercials that are hilarious, but then the end you're like, oh, what was the product for?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right.
I think my favorite one, and I always go back to this one, was there was this guy and he was trying to mug people, you know, rob them, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
You know, some people they'll use like, you know, gun or knife or whatever when they're mugging people to, you know, this guy was
some
using
sort of
and I don't know what brand it was, but he was using a mattress to mug people. So he'd hold the mattress up to them so they'd fall asleep.
Okay.
And he'd take their stuff. And it was just he was like such a criminal. And he was holding this big freaking mattress and just, you know, putting it against people's faces and they would fall asleep right away.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was awesome. But the other one, like, IKEA always has, like, great, great commercials.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I'm obviously allowed to talk about IKEA now. I was on a cease and desist with them for a while because of my previous occupation.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever. You're just not allowed to talk about those guys because they do everything right and we're better than they are. But we're still better. Anyway. Regardless.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, I love the IKEA commercials. So that they win a lot, like a lot of the
awards.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. So there's two that I want to bring up because if you haven't seen them, you got to go check them out. And I will link them in the comment section. But they had the one with the lamp.
Yes.
Yeah. You remember the one?
Exactly. Well, you're so silly.
So describe it. Yeah. So describe the commercial.
Well, basically, I can remember only a few little things, but basically this lady has this lamp in her apartment, and then she's like, you know, taking it outside and putting it by the curb to be picked up for garbage. And then you kind of have like this sappy music in the background, and you have the camera pan down and kind of looks a little bit like the Pixar lamp, like all distraughten and like, you've abandoned me. And then the IKEA guy comes in and it's like, you're being silly. Why are you crying? It's just a lamp.
The new lamp looks much better.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be silly. What are you... You're crying over... How silly are you?
Oh, yes.
How stupid.
I love that commercial.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see their other one? I've linked this on my Facebook a number of times. But they had one... I don't know if it was last year's, maybe the year before. I can't remember. But... It was, they're pushing the new IKEA, I think what they were calling it, the IKEA book, like, you know, like a MacBook, but it was the new IKEA tablet.
The catalog.
The catalog, it was the catalog. And they're talking about how great this it works and how you can, you know, you can bookmark your pages.
Oh, yes.
Did you see that one?
No, that sounds very familiar because as soon as you said bookmarking pages, yes.
So, like, you dog-ear the page if you want to save it. That's how you bookmark a page.
And they treat it like a tablet or something. Like an iPad.
It was brilliant. Totally, it's so true because we're all technology-driven.
Yes.
But, I mean, the catalog, it's better. I don't know. It's better looking at a catalog.
Yes.
It's easier to flip through pages, and they showed how you can flip through pages very easily just by, I don't know, fanning motion or whatever it was.
Figure one, figure two, figure three on how, like, they're turning pages type of thing.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and I don't know, they're always doing cool stuff. But that actually brings up, so I was reading, I actually read the article, but I can't remember all the details, but I guess the founder of IKEA just passed away.
Yes, and there was an onslaught of, like, tasteless jokes about his passing. And I'm like, guys, don't you know the formula? It's time plus tragedy equals comedy. The guy just passed. But, I mean, I guess it was low picking fruit, you know.
So yeah, what were they? So I didn't see that stuff. I just heard what he did with his fortune. And how he distributed the fortune.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
And the controlling aspects of the company. What were you hearing?
Oh, well, I mean, first of all, as soon as they announced it, I mean, my brain just went into humor mode. And I'm like, I know exactly. My brain just went there. Yeah, but I mean, I didn't say anything out loud. I was like, oh, man, you know that there's going to be, like, tons of commercial or tons of jokes about his passing. Like,
yeah.
You just know it, but there was, like, something about, like, you know, his funeral procession would be, like, in individual boxes or something that, and I'm like, guys, I mean, I understand.
You have to so he'd have to carry his own coffin.
Yeah, like, exactly, he had to assemble his own coffin or something to that effect.
But I don't have a barcode.
Oh, for crying out loud. I don't have an Allen key.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You can pick up extra screws at the customer service.
But ultimately you always end up with, like, extra screws. It's like, what the hell? Like, the piece is stuck together. Why do I have, like, 10 screws left? I don't understand. This is not supposed to happen.
Yes.
Although you'll never see me. I think that is the ultimate test of a relationship. If you can put up an IKEA shelf or some sort of a piece of furniture together with your wife or husband or significant other, and that you haven't killed each other by the end, that you're meant to be together.
Very true.
That's how it works.
That's why my marriage works, because we've actually had to go through that a number of times.
Oh, that's hilarious. A number of times.
Hey, so, continuing on tangential thought.
Yes.
So they actually had that as a challenge on The Amazing Race, one of the early years. One of the challenges was, I think they were in, is it
putting
Sweden?
Putting an IKEA?
Yeah, I think, is it, they're from Sweden, is that what it is, or Switzerland?
Yes, Sweden.
Sweden, yes. So they traveled to Sweden and they had to go to the IKEA, and the challenge was they had to assemble some furniture to move on to the next part of leg of the race.
That
it was
is
freaking awesome.
Oh,
it was amazing, the couples that were fighting, like, that's not right, blah, blah. It was
you're
pretty
not reading the instructions.
Yeah. There are no real instructions. It's just pictures. That was good. But anyway, what I was trying to say was he wanted to make sure that IKEA continued because he's very proud of what IKEA does. And IKEA is an amazing company that does a lot of amazing things. Listeners, you can disagree if you like, but in terms of, you know, the environment and, you know, a lot of different things, they give to a lot of charities, they give credit to their designers.
They make great meatballs.
They do make great meatballs. We actually go and eat there. Sometimes
they have
a really
good breakfast. Yeah,
we bring the kids, and they have a play area for them to play in, and it's very affordable, and it's, you know, it goes by European standards of food grade, too. It doesn't go by the North American standards. So,
I did not know that.
Europe has different health standards than North America. They're far stricter than we are here.
Oh.
Yeah. So the quality of the food has to be a certain level. In America, it doesn't matter. It's whoever's paying the politicians.
That's how
the FDA is determined.
Right.
But anyway, so he wanted to make sure that when he died, that the company didn't just go to the kids.
Oh, okay.
Because he wanted to make sure that, because it happens a lot when a company goes down and the kids take over, a lot of those companies fail because they're not businessmen or businesswomen. Right. Like, they don't
know. The vision kind of gets lost.
Yeah, so he set up IKEA to make sure that it was set up in such a way that it could continue with its core values intact and continue running exactly the way it's running before he passed to make sure that it continues and doesn't lower its standards or level of quality.
And affect its brand.
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, the kids are going to get a bunch of money and stuff. Yeah, sure. But he wanted to make sure that the money is reinvested and continues to be invested in all its, all the things it does, its charities, how it gives back to the community. Like, he wanted to make sure none of that stuff changed.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the kids get the money, he wanted to make sure, that money is still, operates the same way it always has. And it's impossible to change it. So I thought that was really cool. I've never heard of that happening before. But, the company does so much for so many that he wanted to make sure that didn't go away.
Well, understandably.
Hey, we're not profitable enough. Let's change
these particular items and which changes the brand a little bit, or the vision gets changed and then it kind of takes away from his initial intent of what the company is supposed to be.
Like, that's genius. So it got me thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to set up something along those lines for my, for my work, like any of the work that I do, like my writing or songwriting or whatever, like, because the minute, so even if, I didn't will it out properly or, any of my stuff, after a certain amount of time, it goes into the public
domain.
It goes into public domain and they can do whatever they want with it and really, reduce its quality, I guess.
Well,
rip
out any kind of qualitative aspect of it and just make it and just kill it.
Anybody can adapt it and do whatever they want with it.
Like they did with the Star Wars franchise, but don't get me started.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's true. Lucas has no say. And
exactly,
it doesn't
exactly.
have to meet any particular standards.
It was his brainchild. It was, his baby. And now that Disney bought it over, they've killed it. And now they're going to, do offshoots and one-offs. And
you're concerned it's going to dilute the quality.
Yeah, it already has. I mean, just for the simple, the prequels, the first three prequels.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that
those
was still,
don't
that, count, was, like, that was his vision, though.
No, I know, but I mean, just, like, it wasn't, there was something missing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there was.
I agree. There was something missing. But whatever, that's just my little rant.
No, I'm a Star Wars whore, so. I just go watch them.
I understand. I mean,
I like my rum, and if someone offers me a rum, I can't really say no. It's not good quality rum. But it's still rum.
I don't care. It's still rum.
Yeah.
I'm a whore.
I'm a rum whore. I'm sorry. Or no, politically correct term.
No, you're a rum.
What's the politically? I don't want to offend.
No. Well, I mean, okay, hang on.
How am I allowed to say this?
Okay. You're a rum himbo. You're a himbo for rum.
Himbo, okay.
Instead of a bimbo.
Oh, okay, himbo.
It's a himbo. You're a himbo for you're
but
a rum himbo.
Sex is against guys.
Oh, whatever. Oh,
damn it! I don't know what to say. I'm someone who's not good. There you go. That's so boring.
No.
I'm someone who's
it's
not good.
All good.
But then you're insulting people who aren't good. Damn it! I don't know what to do!
Exactly. Why should we even bother doing, like, a podcast? If, you know, I mean, we're just going to have to be politically correct to the point of not saying anything and just being
I'm politically
nice.
I'm politically challenged. That's what it is.
Oh, my God. Okay, no, anyway. no, you're not. Just because this world has just been sucked out of all the joy and, you know, people get offended at...
We're all life challenged.
I like that. I like
life
that.
Life challenged.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Comedy's important. It raises our spirits. You can't
yes!
put it down. It's very
exactly.
important. It needs to exist.
Amen to that. Or, yeah. you know, whatever, you know, agnostic.
I can't say amen. I can't say amen. A woman, a person,
no, exactly.
a
like,
person,
I
personed, a person.
Like, hey, person, oh, God.
Oh, man.
For crying out loud.
It's raining men, hallelujah, now it's got to
be
Shoshana.
It's raining
men.
It's raining people, persons.
And you can't say people hallelujah, so it's so, I don't know.
Just, yay!
Hallow whatever you are.
Like, thumbs up! Yeah, whatever. Just anyways, I'm gonna go cry. And,
that's awesome. There's some good comedy gold there, I think.
I know,
we
right?
found some comedy gold. Making fun of things we can't make fun of, and then making fun of it.
Yes, exactly.
It's like circular, cyclical, I don't know.
Something. Yeah, let's go with that. I like that.
Circularly challenged.
Circularly secular. Yes. Circularly secular.
Oh my
I like
God.
That. Let's go
That's
with
awesome.
That.
Well, if we've offended anyone, we tried.
Yes, exactly. Send your emails to www.idontgivearatsass.com.
We'll have to go with mice rats or on the...
Oh, come on.
And asses are offended now because they don't want to
yes,
be associated
okay.
with rats.
So I
I'm an asshole and I'm offended. I'm not a rat. I'm an asshole.
So I don't care about my rodent's backside. There you go. But that doesn't fool
But now,
tongue.
Yeah. But now the beavers are going to be offended because they're rodents. Why'd you let me in with those guys?
That's right.
I don't want to be a rodent anymore.
And then the marsupials are going to like, well, why don't you include us? Because you suck.
All I got to say is platypuses are funny.
Platypuses are funny. They are God's hilarious
That's
practical
right.
joke.
Was it Robin Williams, right? He said, do you think God ever got high? Look at a platypus. I think so.
Surely to God, he made the stuff.
Okay, it's a duck.
It's a duck. Hang on.
It's got a tail.
But wait. But it's got a tail. And it looks like a beaver. And it lays eggs.
Hey, what are you going to do about it? I'm God, huh?
God bless Robin Williams.
God bless Robin Williams. God, is he funny. Hey, I have some Robin Williams. Because there's a lot of stuff, his stand-up, you can't find anymore.
Yes.
Like, he has, like, the famous Night at the Met, which... I think you and I have seen... I've seen it probably about 50 times.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a lot of it memorized. Then, of course, the one he did like 20 years after that or whatever with the whole golf.
Yes. The something of mass extinction or mass... Yes.
Anyway, we know the way. It's freaking hilarious. And when he had his mouth in his crook of his elbow and...
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know That's exactly so what part you're talking about.
I think I watched that with Todd, and I think Todd peed himself. I think he peed himself at that point.
Oh, that's
hilarious.
Oh,
my God. That's so funny. Anyway.
He's genius. Yes.
So, I own those, right? Like, went out and bought them, but there's stuff you can't buy. So, I went and illegally downloaded. I apologize, but it is not available. So, I went and illegally downloaded some stuff. But there's about 5 comedy specials on there, including the ones that are available, which I've purchased every single one of them that are available. But there's the ones that weren't available that never even made it to DVD. So there's one, and you may have seen this with me because I think I rented it in Montreal. But it was one, it was before the Met. So he wasn't quite, he was just on Mork and Mindy at the time. And he wasn't super popular. But he was playing to a crowd. It was a smaller venue. And John Ritter was in the crowd. Do you remember?
Oh, my.
And John, at one point, he brings John Ritter up on stage and they do some improv together.
Shut the front door. Really? Oh, my God. That's awesome. No, I don't.
So, John Ritter, hey, hilarious Three's Company. Hey, you know,
well,
genius,
yeah.
Great.
Pratfall.
But
and just, yes.
That's not the funniest he is. Mm. His stand-up comedy, like, I want to go find more John Ritter stand-up comedy because his improv in this killed me. Just, it was him working off of Rob Williams. It was insane. So I've got
really?
That.
Really? Oh.
So funny. So funny. Funnier
well,
than Night at the Met.
Oh, really?
And Night at the Met is genius. Like, it's genius.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I was telling this to somebody on the weekend, you know, just what it takes to be able to do comedy on the spot.
Yeah.
There's actually an improv troupe in Montreal called On the Spot Players, and they actually have been around forever. One of its members, actually, John Moore, who's now, like, big in voiceover.
I apologize for the noise here. Sorry.
That's okay. He's big in voiceover, and actually, he's been in a few movies, too. But, I mean, just improv in itself, it's either really crappy or it's beyond amazing.
It's generally good. Like, there's usually at least a few good bits in each one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. But, like, people who do... are able to do improv. I mean, it's really like flying without a net.
Yes.
And I want to say that's another improv group, flying without a net, but like a net, like the person.
Yeah.
Anyways, but
Van Halen
yeah, so.
Had that concert called Live Without a Net, and I'm like, what does a net have to do with this? Oh God.
Yes. Well, anyways, so it's just yes. I mean, I tip my hat and I give huge, huge, huge props to people who do stand-up comedy, who do improv, because it's not easy. I mean, your critics are right there, so it's kind of like being the jester, the joker, like in the king's court. Like, make me laugh or die.
I like that. I love improv.
And I mean, that, I guess that's where you get that thrill and that high, you know, being able to like just being put on the spot and like go and make magic.
I hear
little cutenesses in the background.
There's a mess. Uh-oh. Better go clean it up, kids.
So I guess this brings to an end the podcast.
Yes,
for today.
It does.
Okay, well, anyways, as always, time goes by way too fast when
it does
talk. Anyways, but we I had amazing time as usual.
Yeah,
and I guess we'll
let's
talk
do it again
to
next
you.
Week.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
All right, take it easy.
All right, take it easy.
Take it. Bye.
See you on the flip side.
Stay on the flip side. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.